Welcome everyone to the Woke End English Podcast. My name is Gabriel. I am your host. Joining me today from the UK is Guy Trengove. Guy, how you doing, buddy? I'm doing well. I know you're busy right now. You're watching the big game in the UK. Man United, from my point of view at least, and I know you agree with me, the biggest team in the UK, playing Man City. Golazo, absolute golazo from Rashford. So I know it's halftime. You want to get back into the game for the second half, so we'll keep this one nice and short. Let's touch on, so we're going to, our itinerary today is we're going to touch on the match against Lanús, the Super Clásico. We'll mention some national team stuff, and that'll be it. We'll preview, Boca plays later on today, 5 p.m. local time against Belgrano. I think it's at 5 p.m., 5:15, I believe, against Belgrano La Bombonera. Let's touch on the Lanús game. I have a couple notes sort of written down, so I guess I'll head it off. Let me start with the starting 11. The starting 11, which we were excited for because Eki and Medina came back from the U23 after a couple months with Mascherano's national team. Lineup, here we go. So Boca started with Romero, Adíncula, Lema, Figal, Saracchi, Eki, Fernández, Campuzano, Zenón, Medina, Hanson, and Merentiel. The most exciting part about the 11, like mentioned before, was Medina, Eki, Fernández. Hanson, very questionable decision from our coach. Campuzano, another one. He didn't play too bad against Lanús. He wasn't terrible, but I'll touch on him in a little bit. So we had a first half where Lanús completely dominated, but completely dominated. I felt as if Medina and Eki Fernández were off their groove. They were very ineffective, I would say, for a majority of the game. Zenón just wasn't effective in the first half as well. And Lanús hit pretty early on with a goal from Walter Ro, who didn't celebrate it because of his past with Boca. In the second half, I think things improved a bit. We played a bit better. We were connecting passes a bit better. We were more aggressive on and off the ball. I think Bujalde replacing Campuzano in the 55th minute, around there, was a positive for us. Again, Campuzano didn't play terribly, not as terrible as we are used to him playing. He was pretty average, but Bujalde sort of gave us a push in the second half. I felt like during our best moment in the second half, Lanús sort of doubled their lead. They doubled their lead at the 76th minute, and that was pretty much game at that point. We were losing 2-0, 76th minute. We weren't going to come back. We had a consolidation goal, very nice goal from Blondel, in very, very late in extra time, one of the last kicks of the game. So we ended up losing 2-1 to Lanús away from home. What are your thoughts on that game, Guy? I thought we were dominated. Lanús did their work. They played well in the first half. They doubled their lead at our best moment in the second half. It just wasn't enough. And I felt like the starting 11, especially with Hanson, in the starting 11 was questionable. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think you're right when you said that the 2-0, that was it. That was game over, I feel like, the whole team. Although, a couple of subs finished then, apart from that consolation goal. Eki Fernández and Medina, they played a lot of football. They've played a lot of football in the last month and a half, this tournament that they went and played and qualified for the Olympic Games. And it's the first game, it was the first game back for them. I don't think they can be blamed for anything. And the first goal, my goodness. Was it Lema? Lema who lost his man?
I think it was. It was Lema, because yeah, every time he touched the ball, Lanús whistled, and they were happy that their goal was Lema's fault.
Yeah, that was odd when they were coming out of the tunnel and they were whistling him. But anyway, Lemma's fought for the first goal, but he's been fantastic. He's been our best defender by a long way so far. And like you said, Hanson, yeah, I just feel like he's another one that's been a very unsuccessful signing. I mean, he's not a recent signing, really. We've got a squad of players where there's very few questionable players where you don't think, well, you think, oh, perhaps there's something for them. You've got players who are definitely nowhere near being good enough for the team, and you've got 11 or so players which really are quality. So, yeah.
Yeah, players like Hansson, I think, I hate to be so blunt, but sort of they have been extremely ineffective and have to go. Anyways, I think that's it on the Lanús game. Boca's first loss of the season. We were very hopeful that Medina and Iki Fernandez would give us that boost. Unfortunately, it didn't really work out for us. But it did work out a lot better in the following match. Super Clásico, Boca drew 1-1 against River at the Monumental. Let me go ahead and read the lineup. We had Romero, Avíncula, Lema, Figal, Lautaro Blanco at left back, Saralegui in midfield, a last-minute decision from the coach, Medina, Iki Fernandez, Senon, Cavani, Merentiel up front. A lot nicer lineup, a lot better lineup, a lineup that I was definitely way more comfortable with heading into this match at the Monumental, where we had no away fans. I'll let you kick this one off, Guy. Go ahead, tell me your thoughts. What did you think?
Yeah, first half, I think River dominated. I think that can't really be argued against. But the second half, we were much, much better. Blanco was one that was a bit of a divider, really. I think he was very good, but I don't think he was good from the beginning. I think, like the rest of the squad, I think he sort of grew into the game.
He grew into the match. He grew in.
He gave the assist for Medina after beating his man. Eki, much better. I thought that he was defensively very good, something that we liked the previous game. Saralegui, I like him so much.
He's so good, right?
I'm pleased.
He's so good.
Yeah. He's someone who never loses the ball. A bit like Zenon. They're obviously not the same type of player, but a bit like Zenon in the way that he always moves the ball onwards or forwards, whatever you want to say. He's just someone that you trust a lot on the ball, and we lack that, I think. Especially while Medina was not available because of the Preolímpico. I thought we lacked that a lot. And up front, there's this debate going on, isn't there, in our group chat about Cavani. I saw it the other day about whether he's good enough. I think patience is really becoming thin over Cavani. I really want him to succeed, but it just feels like he's lacking athleticism to the league line. I don't know what you think.
Yeah, it almost seems as like he's trying to make up for his lack of goals and sort of trying to help in other areas of the pitch, sort of playing playmaker at sometimes, dropping deep. I forget who it was, an ex-Boca player from the 80s and 90s said, if Cavani just sticks in the box, just stay in the box and just wait for the opportunity, the goals will come. Now, at the same time, we have to create the opportunities for him, which I think that's been one of our deficits this season, is creating chances for our forwards. And that's where Merentiel has succeeded, because he sort of created his own opportunities. He's created a lot of his own chances, whereas Cavani has not. I think everybody in the fan base wants Cavani to obviously succeed. Nobody wants him to not succeed. But I think he was necessary for a Super Clásico. At the Monumental, the name Cavani definitely makes the opponent sort of draw up their tactics a bit different. I'm sure their defense talked about a lot about Cavani. It's not just another player on the pitch. You know, it's Edison Cavani is somebody who succeeded. I'm not going to go and mention his accolades across Europe, but you have to sort of be mindful of the forward that you're defending if you're a defender for River. But yeah, again, I don't think it was his best match. He only played 66 minutes. He received a lot of whistles from the River faithful. I don't know why. I don't understand why. I think Saralegui's inclusion was definitely a surprise. If I'm not mistaken, in our previous podcast, we discussed that Advíncula in midfield and Blondel on as right back. I'm pretty sure we guessed the rest of the lineup, if I'm not mistaken. I'm pretty sure we both mentioned Merentiel and Cavani up top, Senon, Eki Medina. We pretty much got the entire lineup correct, except for Saralegui's inclusion. I liked Advíncula. He was very, very active on the wings. Lema, Figal were solid, except for the time that River converted. Eki and Medina were extremely active in midfield. Senon was excellent. I think we dominated the wings. The game as a whole, Contrary to what you said, Guy, I think River were only better in the initial 15 minutes of each half. They were better in the initial 15 minutes of the first half. The rest of the first half, I wouldn't say we dominated. We definitely controlled the tempo of the game. We controlled the ball. Again, our deficit is creating chances, translating that upfield and just creating chances for our forwards, which we didn't do much in the first half. And similar to the second half, I think River came out better the initial 10-15 minutes. They converted right away with Solari. A little mistake from Figal. I'm pretty sure it was Lema this time. Lema in defense. I was hoping the play would be called offside, but it wasn't. It wasn't even close. Solari was definitely onside. I think Romero has to do a lot better on the rebound, though. He made the initial save, but he gave the rebound right back to Solari, where Solari made no mistake the second time and converted. But I think we were better the rest of the second half. The Michelis, as we spoke about before we started recording, Guy, the Michelis said that Boca's goal was just casual, came out of nowhere. Excuse my language, that's complete bullshit. The goal was built out from the back. I think it was 10, 11, 12 consecutive passes. It started off with the ball over on Advíncula's end, and we sort of made our way over to the left. Lautaro Blanco beat his man, sent out a little cross, and Medina was in the box to convert it. I think looking at the statistics, we'll be kicking ourselves a bit. We had a lot of big chances. We had plenty of chances to score. I think we could have slipped away with the 3 points had we taken a little bit more advantage of River's mistakes, but we didn't. Overall, it's not the worst score. 1-1, a draw at the Monumental is never a bad result. But considering our season so far, we need to start picking up 3 points every game. We have Belgrano this afternoon at home, and I'm pretty sure we're away to Union next week, or actually this week. It's this Wednesday. We have a good amount of games coming up in the next 2-3 weeks for Boca. We have a pretty packed schedule. We have, Union this Wednesday afternoon in Santa Fe. So I don't know if there's anything else you want to add, Guy, but I think going forward, Diego Martinez's aim should be to start picking up 3 points at home. We have dropped a lot of points against teams we shouldn't have. We have to start picking up 3 points because the lead is sort of slipping away. If we take a look at the league table right now, we're in 8th place with 10 points. Godoy Cruz is currently leading with 19 points. So we're 9 points away from the lead in order to make it to the next round of the Copa de la Liga, the playoffs. What are your thoughts, Guy? Do you have anything else to add?
I would ask you, what did you think of the subs? What do you think of Blondel and Faura?
Yeah, questionable. Questionable. It's a good point. I think Diego Martinez settled for the draw. I think that's what he did. He took out Cavani, put in Langoni. So one would think, okay, he's putting on a pair of fresh legs. Langoni could give us some nice action on the wings. But then he took out Saralegui, put in Blondel, took out Medina, put in Valentini, took out Merendiel, put on Benedetto, final minute, and then put on Fabra for Senon. I think in the final minutes, he definitely did settle for the draw. He was confident that we would play out a 1-1 draw. I think with the way the game was headed, we could have, again, snatched a win. What did you think of the subs?
Yeah, it was there for the taking. I think it was there for the taking. I think neither team dared to go for it like they could have.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, especially after we converted, we were a little shaky.
Yeah. The thing I said about the second half, we were much better. I thought that we really got a foothold. I thought that we were clearly in the first half we weren't terrible, but in the second half we were clearly the better team in the second half. And I thought we grew into the game in the second half in a way that it was there for the taking. I think it could have gone for the second goal straight away, perhaps. River were shocked. The stadium was silent, and
no surprise there.
I think it was. I think we really should have gone for it, to be honest. But there we go.
I agree. I think the second half we saw a Super Clásico that we haven't seen in the past couple times, especially last year where we lost both. If I'm not mistaken, we lost 2-0 at Bombonera, and we lost at River too.
We had like 7 players sent off.
Yeah. I mean, I think the second half we saw Super Clásico, one where Boca dominated, and especially at the Monumental, it was a well-played second half. But Diego Martinez should have stuck with that. I don't know if you saw anything different. I didn't really get to see any of the post-match conferences and his analysis on, you know, why he made the substitutions that he made. But clearly, you know, he said, okay, you know, there's a couple minutes left. We're going to leave here with a point. And that's what he did. And Demichelli said the same thing. Demichelli said, I can't be caught defending with seven players because my institution would annihilate me, something along those lines. That Boca can afford to do that, but the River way doesn't allow him to do that. And it's really funny that he said that, because if you look at Medina's goal, he's actually defending with seven players in the box. So I don't know. the substitutions were a bit questionable from Diego Martinez. We played out a fair 1-1 draw, and it is what it is. We have, what, seven games into the season. Let me ask you a quick question. What are your thoughts on Diego Martinez so far? Positive, neutral, negative?
Yeah, neutral to positive. I think, oh my goodness, City have just scored an amazing goal, Phil Foden. Sorry. Anyway.
I haven't seen it yet. Still 1-0 on my TV.
Yeah, it's outside the box, a long way from goal, and right into the top corner. Diego Martinez, neutral to going towards positive. I think that the first few games of the season, like we've already mentioned it loads of times, pre-Olympicon, key players from the youth system, Valentini, Eki Fernandez, Medina. I think Eki Fernandez and Medina specifically, they are so crucial to that team. So crucial to that team. Without them, we're a completely different team. We're a team that has to put Camposano, or the manager's decided that he has to put Camposano because there are other players they can put in. But my point stands that the quality is severely reduced. I think you have to give him a chance with those players back.
Right.
Obviously, I'm not saying get him. It's nothing like that. But I don't think he can be judged based on the previous games, is what I'm saying.
Right.
The reduced squad, I think. Now is the time to judge him, to be honest.
Right. No, I definitely agree. I mean, he has the entire squad now, so there's no excuse. I think today's game is very important. It is. Today's game is useless, and especially the Super Clasico is useless if we don't build on top of that. We performed well against River. We have to translate that and continue that form and perform tonight. There shouldn't be any questions about today's game. Boca have to get all 3 points. If I were Diego Martinez, I'm trying to look on Twitter now. I don't see any expected 11s or I just see videos and pictures of León Bonera. It looks like a beautiful day in Buenos Aires right now. Bostero Informa tweeted Cavani's little emoji thing, bow and arrow. Lima, I know, is questionable, but he did make the squad. If they see him fit in time, I'm assuming he'll play against Belgrano, his ex-team. I think we should play the same 11 that played against River. But we have to build on top of on the Superclásico. We have to build off of, you know, what we did against River. We played well. We have to play well at home, and we have to get all 3 points. There's little room for error now. We can't drop any more points. We have to translate, you know, what we did against River on the pitch. Perform well, play with Saralegui, Medina, Eki, Senon. Those guys play very well with the ball at their feet. Again, what does worry me, and you just highlighted on this guy, is our bench. I don't think we have the best bench. Players like Hanson, Campuzano, those sort of guys, they're not really cutting it out for us. So, I think that's it on the Superclásico. One thing I did like to mention is Argentina named their squad for this month's FIFA international break. A couple ex-Bocas called up. Molina, Paredes, McAllister, no surprise with those three. But Valentin Bargo was called up by Scaloni. Valentin Bargo actually made his debut for Brighton in their 1-0 loss to Wolves in the FA Cup. He apparently created three opportunities in those 3 minutes. I don't know. I didn't watch the game. It was actually working. I don't know if he came in as left back, if he played in midfield. I'm really not sure. But very excited for him. Super excited for him. One of the best talents to come out of our youth academy. And I'm sure he'll serve Scaloni very well for his future plans. Hopefully he makes the Copa America squad. That'd be awesome. I'm actually going to a Copa America game. I'm going to the group stage match against Chile, so maybe I'll see him there. What do you think, Guy? What do you think of the squad, the national team squad?
Yeah, didn't the Brighton manager say that Barco's not 100% ready in terms of, like...
He said he's not ready for Premier League football. I don't know if that really translates to the FA Cup. I guess not, because he played in the FA Cup.
He played a Premier League team in the FA Cup, played Wolves. So
right. I was just going to say, Wolves is a Premier League team, so...
Yeah, but I think making the Copa America is a big ask, to be honest. If he does, fair play to him. I think that shouldn't be an expectation at this stage. It's possible, but I just don't think if the manager's talking about him in that sort of way, I don't think he's got that much of a chance.
Yeah, it seems like he's not going to have a lot of club football for the rest of, at least for the first half of the year. Brighton ended up crashing out of the FA Cup, so if he's going to play any football, it would have been the FA Cup. He doesn't have that anymore. For Barco to be called up, one of the left-backs has to be dropped. Well, Acuña, Tagliafico, and it doesn't seem like that's going to happen. So it would be nice. It'd be awesome for him. I'm sure. I mean, Scaloni has done this in the past. He'll sort of include the younger guys for one of the friendlies and then won't call them up for a couple of months. And then maybe a year might go by, and then he'll call them back up. And then sort of he's... stabilizes or inserts them into the squad at the right moment. So Barco is probably not going to make the Copa America squad, but maybe for some of the World Cup qualifiers, he'll get called up again. Similar to Garnacho, he was called up and then wasn't called up. Now he's called up again. Scaloni does that. It's just his way of sort of integrating very, very slowly an outside player into the squad. And I think, you know, it's worked wonders for him so far. Guy, anything else you'd like to add? Otherwise, we'll close this one out and we'll get you back to the Manchester Derby.
No, I don't think so. I think we've covered everything, so that's good.
Wonderful, wonderful. Guy, thank you so much for joining me. To our listeners, thank you so much for tuning in, and until next time.